News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Kind of gloomy out there. That's because rain is on the way. But we get to the weekend, it should be okay. We're going to be a little blustery tomorrow, but then it's going to be fine for most of Saturday. Sunday looks sunny and nice. Oh, we've got the... Caroline just reminded me, we got the Cajun cook-off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Down at Bienville Square. If you want any Cajun food at all, I believe it opens at 10 or... I get there at 8. They kind of run out quick. Dalton, we have a special guest in studio.
Yeah, that would be Caroline Dobson, who is in the running for the AL2 Republican primary runoff, and it'll be here before you know it. Seems like we just went to the polls, because we did, but runoff coming up April 16th, and Caroline, thanks for coming in again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Good to see you. So today you come in and you said tomorrow you're going to be, or this weekend you'll be down at the Cajun cook-off. We have something every weekend once we head into spring.
Yes. I realized that I, enjoyed celebrating Mardi Gras down here with you all. And then I kind of felt, these poor Mobilians, they're going to have this Lenten season where nothing fun. And then I didn't realize you had this. I was down here last weekend for your St. Patrick's Day festival and Cajun. I'm like, okay, they're still having plenty of opportunities for fun.
It's like, Lent is kind of just recommended, you know.
We try to be
good, but it doesn't stop. And these are fundraisers for good organizations too.
So. Yeah.
So you're in the midst of a heated race.
That's right.
Down to two. You and former State Senator Dick Brubaker in that Republican runoff. Now, on the other side from it, you also have another runoff on the Democrat side. And we've been talking about this so long that something we haven't seen in a really long time in Alabama, a purple race, if you want to call it that, something that will come down to the general election. But you've got some fighting to do before that. So how are things going? I know you've been traveling like crazy, trying to get out and meet as many people as you can.
Yes. No. And again, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to still be getting out in the district and meeting with folks throughout the district. I've spent a lot of time down here in Mobile because there are so many opportunities here and there are so many niche industries here that really need an advocate in Washington, D.C., so just trying to learn about all the businesses here. But it's truly been a blessing to meet so many inspiring people, met with community leaders and church leaders and teachers and firefighters and mayors. And in some instances, like in Citronelle, the mayor is also a volunteer firefighter, Mayor Stringer. So it's you meet so many people that are working so hard to make their communities better. And it's just inspired me to work even harder to try to advocate for the people of District 2.
Caroline, Mobilians are concerned.
Sure.
They're concerned about this race. They're concerned about what kind of representation they're going to get in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. State to our audience why you would be the better choice for this community.
Yes. Well, I mean, as between all four candidates, I'm the one, I grew up in Southwest Alabama. I did not grow up in Mobile, but I grew up in Monroe County, part of the former District 1, and growing up focused on the opportunities in Mobile. And the future of Monroe County was very much tied to that in Mobile. And looking up to leaders like Congressman Callahan, Congressman Joe Bonner, whom I had the opportunity to work for, and Bradley Byrne and Jerry Carl, people that really were advocating for Mobile and opportunities here, infrastructure, the port, more recently, the airport here and the intermodal capability between the port and the airport, all still in Airbus. So, I was raised recognizing, the significance of Mobile, and I've spent at least 2 days a week down here since I filed back in November. And more recently, even in law, I was in Mobile 5 days last week, just trying to ensure that I learn as much as I can so I can advocate most effectively. I mean, Shamari Figures is from Mobile, but he's raising his family in Washington, so even not only on the Republican side, but on the Democrat side too, I'm going to be the one that's going to be on the ground here. My husband and I are committed to raising our daughters in South Alabama. And you can guarantee that when I'm not, in session, I'm going to be down here and spending a large amount of my time in Mobile to make sure that, I'm hearing the issues on the ground. for my constituents.
Yeah, you're so right about that. People that they get into politics, they say they want to represent an area, and then as soon as they get that ticket to D.C., they're there. And speaking of that, if you do win runoff and the general, you're going to be thrown right into a pretty big briar patch there in D.C., and you see the fighting that's going on this week, even just within the Republican Party, as they try to finish, I guess they're going to, they had the minibus they passed a few weeks ago. Now you got the remainder of those appropriations bills, and they're going to vote today. Now, a lot on the right are upset that Mike Johnson, along with the Democrats that dropped this, did it overnight last night.
Right.
They have less than or around 48 hours to read this 1,000-page bill, $1.2 trillion in spending. How would you have approached that this week as they dropped this bill overnight last night? I know it's impossible to get all the information in it before you go to vote. How would you have responded?
Right. No, I mean, this is a prime example. We've got to stop kicking the can down the road, and we need to increase our Republican majority in the House, which is why this race is so important. But we need Republicans to stand firm and actually address our national debt. You know, I also saw that more consumers now than ever are using the buy now, pay later. I mean, it's pervasive throughout our society because our government is not addressing the debt. Now, you know, we have more citizens than ever that are, you know, well, if the government it's not balancing their budget, and I don't have to either.
Right.
So we have got to have more Republicans who are willing to dig their heels in, take a stand, and actually come up with some solutions and cut government spending. You know, $34 trillion in debt, our debt services are about to exceed our defense spending, which is, you know, I don't want my children to inherit that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to have folks that are willing to take a stand and potentially take a political hit to address that.
Yeah, and a big part of what the Republicans were saying they were trying to accomplish here was better border security and using what leverage they have in D.C. to try to get Democrats to agree to certain things. Yesterday, you have video from El Paso. I don't know if you had the chance to see that.
Where the National Guard was,
breaking through the barbed wired fence, and then they come up on a much bigger fence that they weren't able to get through. But scary situation. That's happening on our border, being overrun right now.
Right, yeah. And then on top of that, 200,000 deportation cases were thrown out because the Biden administration did not complete the paperwork.
Amazing.
You know, that's an eightfold increase because of the Biden. I mean, it is truly an invasion aided and abetted by the Biden administration.
Well, you bring something interesting to this race, too, in the fact that you are a mother of smaller children. And so when you look at everything that you'll be dealing with, you're looking at through the eyes of a mom, of a mom of young children. And I think that does give you a different way to examine things when you consider that they're going to be in the, like you said, what are they going to inherit when they become adults and when they become in their 20s, 30s, and 40s? Talk about that.
Yes, no, I mean, that it's on so many different issues. I'm so concerned. And certainly having young children, it's a sacrifice and it's hard to balance, but they're my motivation. And that's what keeps me up at night is, I, whether it's the border or the state of our military, the state of our economy, and our tax structure. I'm very concerned about what the country they're going to inherit. And if we're going to have a country, frankly, I mean, not to be alarmist, but you look at kind of the state of the world right now and the rise of so many global enemies. And unfortunately, I just don't think that we are unified in spirit. I mean, obviously, we're never going to be totally on the same page politically, and that's probably a good thing. But I don't think that, it would be great if we were all Republican, unrealistic. But I just don't think we are unified in believing that America is the greatest force for good in the world and that freedom is worth fighting for. And that though America is not perfect, it is the greatest nation on earth. I don't think that we have that common unity, and we've got to, and I blame that on our education system, creating division. We have got to start instilling in this next generation, the belief and the protection of liberty. So I
wanted to talk with you about another national issue and then get it more into this race you have going on right now. But we talked about the border being overrun the future of America. A conversation that's already happening, I think it's going to happen more, is with everything that's going on the Gaza Strip, in Haiti now. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with Ukraine. There are a lot of people in America, a lot of politicians who want to bring refugees over en masse mm-hmm. from these places. Yeah. And it's difficult to talk about because, of course, they're going through hell, whether
right,
they're in
right,
Haiti
right.
or in Gaza. But what are your thoughts on that? Like, hey, America, we should swoop in and take everyone that we can from these countries that are going through really rough times right now.
Well, you know, I mean, as much as, I mean, all these stories are heartbreaking, right? But America was not intended to be a receptacle for folks from all the failed governments throughout the world. And the only way that we can hold a lot of these other nations accountable or kind of keep them in line is if we are strong. Right now, we are weak because we have a weak president. Mm-hmm. And we have got to be strong again. I'm not a hawk or a dove. I'm not saying we should intervene in every global crisis. I'm not saying we should isolate from that. But when we are strong, then we can exercise deterrence. And mm-hmm. then, you know, these global you know, enemy powers will stop playing chess with a lot of, and you know, they'll be greater peace throughout the world when we are stronger. And you know, we can't be strong when our country's about to collapse from the influx of the estimated, you know, 8 million illegals that have come across during the Biden administration. We can simply cannot sustain the influx of more non-taxpayers mm-hmm. who are going to be seeking our social services. That's just the truth of it. You know, I mean, a lot of people want to quote the Emma Lazarus quote, you know, give me your tired, give me your poor. Well, you know, that's technically just a piece of artwork. that's not in our Constitution. And unfortunately, because we've, you know, just opened our borders, we're not in a position where we can really take any more folks.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I was going to bring it back to your race here with former State Senator Dick Brubaker. He was on with Jeff Poor this week. And he mentioned something that your campaign has mentioned, mm-hmm. which is, I think it was saying he was negative on Trump, at least on a vote, or maybe just called him an outright anti-Trumper. But he said that's not the case and that's only coming out from your campaign because you're behind. Any response to the senator from that?
Well, you know, I think it's so important that the Republican Party is unified. We have so much damage to undo from the Biden administration. We've got to get Trump back in the White House. And Mr. Brubaker has tweeted against Trump both personally and antagonizing his policies, saying that his policies were bad for the economy, which is the furthest thing from the truth. I think we all can recognize that 3 years into the Biden administration. But it's never been more important that as a Republican Party, we are working together once Trump's back in the White House, and hopefully we keep control of the House and keep this seat so that we can reverse all of this damage and make our country strong again. And it's not just his tweets against Trump. You know, when he was in the state Senate, he left the Republican caucus. We don't need someone who's, you know, storming out. You know, we need someone who is putting their heads down and working to accomplish good for the people of District 2.
Got a couple texts. Mark says, ask Ms. Dobson if she is concerned about the runoff falling in the middle of spring break. A lot of families will be traveling that week, including myself, who voted for, I would say, you know, and it's a bad word these days, but there is a reason there was absentee voting and is absentee voting for, you know, real American ID voters. That's a useful tool to use if that's going to happen.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and thank you for bringing that up on the show. So I would encourage all of you, if this does fall on your spring break, please get an absentee ballot. And I will say it's made campaigning challenging because it seems to be a different spring break in every county in this district. But you know, that's how the cookie crumbles. So you know, that's why it's I've been you know, I've got events in 7 counties over the next few weeks, just trying to get in front of as many folks as I can and encourage them to either get to the ballots or be proactive in their absentee ballot registration.
Thank you for visiting again today and giving us an opportunity to get your take on things and on the race and your opponent. And we'll just check and make sure your kids are okay. What grades are they in again?
They are both in preschool.
You're living the Dalton life.
Oh, right? Yeah. Right. Lots of reading we're doing right now, that's for sure.
Yes.
For folks who want to check you out online?
www.dobsonforcongress. That's D-O-B as in Bravo, S-O-N-F-O-R, congress.com. Dobson for Congress on X, Facebook, Instagram, and Truth Social.
Right. And sometimes she'll just show up at your place like she did with us this morning, waiting on her phone call. Up, there she is. Thank you again, Caroline.
Thank you.
821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.